This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Glad to have you aboard, because this hour we're going to talk about a trifecta of science news. Later we're going to talk about a new species of humans and then antibiotic research. But first, you know, if you're a regular listener, you hear us talk about stuff that sounds so amazing, so fantastic, that it sounds more like science fiction, right? Science fiction than science fact. For example, we've talked about researchers placing electrodes into a monkey's brain, connecting those to a computer, and then training the animal to do things like move a computer cursor or robotic arm simply by thinking about making those movements. Well, this hour we're back with some more of this stuff that seems like it's science fiction but is actually fact, because a researcher is joining us who has done these experiments and has taken them one step further. He's teaching monkeys to feed themselves with a robotic arm simply by using brain signals, in the hopes that one day his work will help paralyzed people move their own limbs or people without limbs move prosthetic ones. And he's presenting his research this week at the Society of Neuroscience meeting. Andrew Schwartz is a professor of neurobiology with a joint appointment in the Department of Bioengineering at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine in Pennsylvania. He joins us today. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Tell us what you why what well let's try tell what are you trying to accomplish with these experiments? Is it to find a way to allow us to use our brains to just think about moving robotic arms and things?
Well, what we're trying to do is to bypass lesions that people who are paralyzed may have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll tap right into the part of the brain that controls movement, and then using our hardware try to either move a device, or eventually we hope to reactivate their own muscles with this technology.
And let's talk about where you've gotten so far. Tell us about these experiments.
So, just like you said, we've implanted electrodes in these monkeys. We record action potentials from neurons, a group of neurons, and then we transduce the signal. And basically what we do is we extract movement information from that, and we take that signal, the intended movement, and we feed it to our devices, which in this case is a robot arm, and the robot arm moves as the animal wills, basically.
Does the animal have to be taught how to will the movement?
Well, what we do is we initially train the monkey in a virtual reality environment where the animal moves three-dimensional cursors around to hit targets.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it does this, it gets a reward, and we can use operant conditioning to teach the monkey what we want to do.
Now, how do you know which signals coming out of the brain are the right ones to use for the movements?
Well, we know which part of the brain to put the electrodes, and we've done about 15 or 20 years of work studying this piece of brain, so we have a pretty good idea of what the signal should look like.
1-800-989-8255 is our number if you'd like to talk about it. So are you able to actually get to filter out the exact signals that are needed to make these fine movements?
Well, as it turns out, most of the signals in this region of the brain are related to the movement that mm-hmm. the monkey's trying to do, so it's relatively easy to find the correct signals.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to design any special apparatus, or are you just using stuff you've used before?
Well, no, it took a lot of technology to do this. We had to develop electrode technology that would allow us to record these very small signals, many of them simultaneously. And then we had to come up with computer algorithms to extract this in real time, and then, you know, transmit this information to the robot. And just getting all the pieces to work together was very difficult, actually.
Tell us about the algorithm. How does that work?
Well, the signals that we record from each neuron fires action potentials, and it's like a Geiger counter when you listen to it on through the amplifier and watch it on the oscilloscope.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine you have Geiger counters, one pointed in each direction. So there is a Geiger counter for the right and left direction, one for up and down, and one for in and out. And what happens then is that these cells, and the analogy I'm using are the Geiger counters, are directionally specific. So they fire in a particular preferred direction. And so by listening to these cells, and again, think of them as Geiger counters, you can detect what direction the animal is trying to move.
And so then the computer compares how much firing is happening in one direction versus another, and it says, oh, it wants to push forward instead of sideways.
Right. So first we have to calibrate the neuron. So we have them do a task where they reach in different directions so we can label the neurons. And then once we know which direction each neuron's trying to fire in, then all we have to do is listen.
Do the monkeys know that it's moving this robotic arm?
Right. So the big breakthrough we've done is to use what we call closed loop control, where the animal sees what's going on. So it's sitting with the arm right next to it, and it's right next to its own shoulder, and it's watching what the robot arm is doing.
Let me go to the phones. Catherine in Milford, Connecticut. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I have a question about the monkeys. I want to know, I have three questions. Do they feel pain? Are their arms cut off for the robot arm, and are they killed after the experiment?
Okay, so the answer to the first question is the electrodes are implanted in the brain, and the brain itself does not have any pain sensation. And the second question was, are the monkey's arms cut off? No, the arms are just sort of held down by the side of the monkey. And the third question is, sometimes we keep our monkeys around for a very long time. So, for instance, we have one monkey now that's been implanted for more than 6 years, and it's still participating in the experiments.
Okay, Catherine?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. So is this a super monkey that has learned to do this?
No, actually, we've trained quite a few monkeys, and it's not that difficult for them to learn to do this.
Mm-hmm. Do they get pretty good at, can you get them to have more finer and finer movements as they learn how to do this?
Yes, they actually have very nice natural movements, and our goal actually is to try to make these movements as natural and agile as natural human movements.
Mm-hmm. So how does your study fit in with the other research on moving robotic arms using only brain signals? What have you done differently?
Well, we've emphasized the behavioral aspect. What we found is that there's very clear evidence of learning. So the animals actually learn to modify their neural discharge as they do this. And by tracking that and treating that in a very special way, we get enhanced performance.
1-800-998-255. Brad in Utah. Hi, Brad.
Hi. My question is kind of bizarre, actually. I read an article in the Ogden Standard Examiner. I believe it was either Wednesday or Thursday of this week. The title was "Man Controls His Computer and His TV with Thoughts," and it went into the full detail about how this electrode, this, chip had been put in his brain, and he had a little tower standing up on the top of his head. It was radio control. It wasn't even hardwired. And I'm wondering, I guess, if you're even aware of this. I mean, is this you that's doing this? Or we're talking about monkeys here, and it says in the paper that it's been done to a man.
Dr. Schwartz?
Right. So this is work reported by John Donahue with the Cyberkinetics Company in on the East Coast. And they have done their first human experiment where they've implanted electrodes that are similar to ours, and basically the paradigm is very similar to ours. And what they have is a human subject making fairly simple movements with the devices that you listed, so the subject can move a cursor around a computer screen.
But that's one step prior to what you've been doing with the monkeys.
Yes, we have more elaborate control in that we're moving in three dimensions, and we're actually have a fairly elaborate robot arm that's has the same functionality as a human arm.
Could Dr. Donahue's experiment be tweaked up to do what you're doing?
Well, I think that will happen in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. So how fine a movement can you make? Do you think you can get a whole hand movement and fingers? You now have a very sort of, pincer sort of movement in the robot. Can you get individual fingers to work, do you think?
Well, that's the next thing on the slate. It's a much more difficult task in that the hand is very much more complicated than the arm. But we think we have several methods that we want to try and approaches we want to take to try to accomplish that.
Could you retrain if people are paralyzed or have strokes and have lost that part of the brain that controls the movement in their limbs? Could other parts be retrained to do this?
Oh, I think that's very clear from our results that there are many parts of cortex that could probably be used for this, and that the brain is plastic enough to learn to do this.
And you found that happens in your monkeys?
Yes.
Any different parts of the brain? That's interesting.
Right. So, for instance, we record our signals from motor cortex,
right.
But we've also recorded from premotor cortical areas, and other people have recorded from areas behind that, and they all seem to work fairly well.
Mm-hmm. So you think that you'll surpass Dr. Donahue from Brown in the human implants and do stuff of your own? Or do you think you're going to stay with the monkeys, he's going to go with these in humans?
Well, we hope to start humans in the next couple of years, but he is ahead of us in the human research, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Let me get a quick question in from Jim in Detroit. Hi, Jim.
Hello. This is Jim. I love your show.
Thank you. Quickly.
My question is there industrial applications for this experiment? I program robots for a living, you know. Can we program them to make cars and stuff like that rather than me getting dirty?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Do you have to stick the probes in, or could you get brain waves or something, you know, in years ahead?
Well, there are researchers trying non-invasive techniques, for instance, using EEG, which are electrodes placed on the scalp, and they are getting some performance. I think that it's likely that the kind of signals we get from inside the brain will have higher resolution in relation to the movement, but I think that these external signals may be fairly interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that other parts of the body that are not limbs and, you know, could also be retrained?
Well, we're looking, the training would probably have to do something with movement. Now, there are other prostheses, for instance, cochlear implants that are fairly widely used, and now people are talking about visual implants, either directly in the retina or in the visual cortex to try to restore vision.
Yeah, I've read about some interesting work in where people who were totally blind can see objects. Not very high resolution, but can tell the difference.
I think there's some results yet to be learned on that.
So where do you go from here?
Well, so we want to make more and more elaborate movements. We want to make our devices as natural as they can be, and as we mentioned before, we like to go to hand movements, which are much more complicated. And then what we want to do is try to go past the robot studies and actually activate a patient's own muscles using small electrical shocks in a special way. So we'd like to have this completely self-contained and have the subject move their own arms and hands.
Do you have the funding to do all this stuff?
Well, we've been funded fairly well in the last 10 years or so from the National Institutes of Health and the Whitaker Foundation.
Mm-hmm. I give people the blank check question. If you had a blank check and you could buy a breakthrough or do something you can't do now, what would you need?
I think the biggest impediment at this point are electrodes that record signals reliably for long periods of time and survive in the brain nicely.
Oh, you mean they deteriorate over time?
Well, what happens is we're trying to pick up very small signals, and the brain tries to basically encapsulate these electrodes, at which point we lose our ability to pick up the signals.
So they're sort of like healing around the electrode.
Exactly.
When you give them. And how long do you think this the 6-year-old monkey can go ahead and continue to do this?
I see if it's going 6 years, it should keep going for a long time.
Wow, that sounds interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Schwartz.
Thank you.
And good luck to you.
Thanks.
Andrew Schwartz is professor of neurobiology with a joint appointment in the Department of Bioengineering, and you would think they'd work very closely together at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine in Pennsylvania. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about the newest member of the human family. Not around here to talk to, but has still left behind some very interesting clues about the family. So stay with us. We'll go back in time.